Welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. I'm Karen Morales, and your host in helping you find ways to make positive changes for your business, health, relationships, and life. We always have a path to a happier ending, so let's get started today. Hi, welcome to Momentum Magnet. I'm Karen Morales, your host. And today we're here to talk about something that has been on top of our minds so much in the last year. Happiness. What does it mean to you? How do you find it? And how do you get it back when it's lost? Today I decided to invite Michelle to join us and talk all about the American Happiness Project. She created a documentary where she traveled across the United States interviewing people to find out what is the secret to feeling good. Today, we're going to talk about what she discovered across the country. What are those special skills that people have that seem to exude contentment with their lives? And if you are feeling lost, how do you get that back? So today is all about the American Happiness Project. And I'm so glad to welcome Michelle as our guest. How are you today?
Hello, Karen. I'm so excited to be here. I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so, so welcome. So I think the place that we all need to start is, how did this idea come to be? Did you wake up one day and said, I'm going to get in my car with a video camera and travel across the United States interviewing people? Like, what was the road to get there?
Sure. Yeah, it's a great question. And normally when, you know, people hear that I filmed a documentary, they assume that I went to film school or had some experience in that. And I had absolutely none. So it was kind of a wild idea going into it. And back in the summer of 2018, I had the idea after running, before American Happiness Project, I was an entrepreneur in the food industry here in Boston. And I had worked really hard. And really, that was my dream since I was a kid, was to have a company in the food space. And I found myself, you know, from the outside looking in, you would have thought I was successful, happy, right? But I found myself waking up every single day and just doing fine, just, you know, doing okay, which I think a lot of people fall into. And I didn't really understand why I was feeling the stress, the self-doubt, the worry. And so I personally started digging into the science behind happiness levels, energy levels, fulfillment, and really got intrigued and started, you know, implementing some of the things I'd learned into my own life and had the idea, you know, what if I could capture how everyday people are creating more happiness all across the country, regardless of external circumstances, because obviously stressful things are going to come up. Things are not going to go according to plan, but how do you create that more internal happiness? And that was really where the idea came from. And I've always kind of had an entrepreneurial mind and bootstrapped mentality. And so started kind of figuring out step by step how I could make it happen and went from there.
I think that is so interesting because I hear that a lot from entrepreneurs who reach their goals, whether they have grown a business and sold it off or whether they have been able to, you know, build a product and commercialize it in a positive way. Sometimes they come to me when we're doing some business work and they say, but I'm not feeling contented. So can you talk to us a little bit about how long did it take you to get these two food companies off the ground? What were they? And how did you come to that realization that what you thought was your end goal wasn't exactly working for you?
Sure. So I started, my first food company was called Kitchen Millie, and it was a cookie catering company. So we mainly went into offices all around Boston and we're doing cookie experiences, which sounds kind of ridiculous, but we would bring in, you know, our locally made handmade cookies and pair them with other local brands. So do making your own cookie witches with ice cream, cookie and beer pairings, things like that. And the second company that I started was called The Local Fair, and it was a kitchen incubator space to help other food brands start and grow their companies. So obviously I'd made a lot of mistakes starting out Kitchen Millie, and so wanted to, you know, share those lessons. And so we had a physical space where people could produce their product. But we also did workshops and classes to educate on more of the business end of things. And I found myself, you know, that was over the course of about 5 years building up those two companies. Kitchen Millie started in 2014. Local Fair was founded in 2016. And yeah, I totally agree with what you were saying. You know, it was really, I felt very guilty that I wasn't happier, more fulfilled, because, you know, I knew I had a lot of good things in my life, and I didn't really understand where that lack of fulfillment or meaning was coming from. And it was an internal struggle for a while, and I didn't really know if it was the businesses, if it was something personally in my life. But yeah, it took some kind of diving into to figure that out.
And I think that that's not only a common thing for entrepreneurs. I know I experienced the same sort of curveball in my entire life, and especially my career in corporate America. Waking up one day and having reached that pinnacle of an SVP in a global company, and supposed to have feel very good and positive about where I was, but it was blah. The climb to get there had been driving me forward. And once I was at that level, I was looking around thinking, this is not what I want. And I don't even want to take the next step forward. And I think a lot of people find themselves in situations where they feel, I like to call it, you know, the four-letter word, fine. Mm. Fine is usually not, for me, a signifier of being on the right path. Fine for me is that something probably needs to change.
Right, right. Yes. The word fine is, you know, do you really want to be living a fine life? And I do not personally. I want it to be energizing and exciting and meaningful and yeah, all this.
So let's talk about this pivot. You go down and you do this research and you realize that there are a lot of correlations between outer happiness and how people are processing feelings and emotions and how they are going through their day-to-day to drive their productivity up and to strengthen their mental wellness. So how does someone who is not a documentary filmmaker by trade decide to get in a car and begin driving and make this movie?
Yeah, so I had started getting into, or I had started looking for things that really lit a spark within me. And I think I'd kind of lost that because I was going through the motions each and every day. And I wasn't miserable, but again, I was just doing fine. And something that really lit that spark was creating videos. And they were very short, you know, at the time I was doing them for Kitchen Millie, the cookie company, on our blog, or, you know, just random things for my personal Instagram. But I found myself getting lost in that. And it was something I hadn't felt in a very long time, where you don't look at your phone and time just kind of goes by so quickly, right? And I had this idea. It came to me actually the day after 4th of July. It was July 5th, 2018. And I love America, and I know there's so much more good out in America than is often highlighted by more mainstream media a lot of the time. And I wanted to, you know, produce some visual compilation that would capture the good, but also be able to, you know, provide tangible strategies people could start implementing into their everyday life. And that's really how it began. Right from the get-go, once I had the idea, I knew that I needed a car to drive across the country in. And at the time, I was leasing a car, and it was kind of where the first, you could call it a synchronicity or coincidence, came to play, about a minute after I had the idea to film the documentary. And I called up my car dealership, who I was leasing the car from at the time, and the lease was going to be ending in a couple months, so I kind of asked for my options, you know. And the guy who I had spoke to, he asked me what I was going to be using the car for, right? Pretty typical question. And I said to him, I told no one else in my life, but I said to him, I'm going to be driving to every state in America and filming a documentary on happiness, right? I said it, it just came out of it. It almost shocked me at how confident I sounded in it. And because I had no plan or anything like that so far, but the interesting conversation that led was, he said, oh my gosh, that's crazy. When I was in my 20s, I went to every single state in America. I had a van. I didn't film a documentary, but you have to do it. This is going to be the greatest experience of your life. And he was this random guy at the car dealership, right, that I called up. And it was this weird moment where it was almost like a confirmation to, you know, continue on with the idea, which I think often we don't really get in the entrepreneur world. We kind of just have to keep trucking forward. And so that's when I started to kind of get into the more logistical side, you know, budgeting out things, ended up running a Kickstarter for the project. And for the next 6 months until I left on the journey was figuring out, you know, how do I find people to interview all across the country, right? Where am I going to be staying? What's the route I'm taking? All those more logistical things.
And you obviously have very great cosmic timing because you did this documentary prior to COVID and quarantine. And then we're able to bring the documentary out this year, which is almost, you know, the perfect time and the moment to hear this story. So talk to us a little bit about life on the road and what you saw across the country when it came to happiness.
Sure. So my goal for the documentary and for the journey was really to capture all different types of perspectives and opinions and backgrounds and from all over the place, right? Every single state. And really, for the most part, I was traveling alone a lot of the time. So there's a lot of solo driving, you know, 6-7 hour days of driving, a lot of podcasts I listened to. And with every single interview I had, most people assume that I asked the question, what makes you happy? And I never actually asked that question. I more wanted to hear the stories of what people went through and more of their mindset and perspectives and how they developed those so that, you know, if someone is watching the documentary, they're maybe not in the happiest place, they're maybe just doing fine, how can they actually, you know, rise from this state? And my first question to every single person I interviewed was, what do you love about your life? And from there, what I was able to gauge, and, you know, at first I was very awkward interviewing people, right? I had never really done this before. It took time to learn. But I was able to see where their eyes lit up, right? Where was that spark in whatever they mentioned, what they love about their life? And from there, you know, was able to ask questions, and it was this organic conversation that derived. And there are a couple, you know, common questions I asked everyone. Some things like, you know, say someone in your life is pulling you down or bringing you down, how do you get out of that situation or how do you improve it? Another question I asked every single interview was, say someone's watching this documentary right now and they're not the happiest, you know, what's a good first step they can take, a very small first step? And the common themes that developed, there were really two of them across the country. And of course, it was said in different ways all throughout the interviews, but the two common themes were that happiness is internal, it is a choice, and no outside thing or person is going to bring that into you long term, right? We're of course going to feel that spurt of happiness when we maybe get the promotion or we get married or we buy the thing, but long term it really has to be internal and it has to be something you're choosing and not letting others or world events or outside circumstances dictate it for you. And the other aspect was that really people had worked to develop a positive mindset, right? They were focused more on how their brain is interpreting what's happening around them than what actually is happening. And this is something that I had learned, you know, in digging into the research behind happiness, that our minds are actually wired from birth to go to a more negative primal place that helped protect us, you know, when we had to avoid being attacked by a wild animal out in the forest. Mm. And so your brain is actually, you know, wired to go to that more negative place of looking out for what could go wrong, right? That's why there's a lot of negativity, a lot of complaining, right? Our brains are just naturally wired to go to that place. But there is a way to get out of that state. And the Americans across the country who identified as happy people, you know, of course they have tough days and go through things, but overarching happy people, they're able to craft that more positive mindset.
That's beautiful. And do you see any correlations between those trends in age, gender lines, geographic locations across the United States? Or did it really feel like that common sentiment was shared for everybody?
The common sentiment was shared. I would say it varied depending, like everyone had reached a, I wouldn't say a breaking point, that sounds harsh, but they had reached a moment in their life where they knew they had to make some type of change. And for some people that came in their 40s, right? They came when they maybe got everything they had wanted, quote unquote, and then realized, wow, I'm not actually happy day to day. Other people, you know, maybe I would say that people that were in their low 20s, maybe this is due to the shift of where things are going with the internet and social media, they had discovered it a little bit sooner. And they had had, you know, some type of experience where they saw someone else in their life kind of modeling the life they wanted to live, and they saw it as an opportunity. But I would say that people that were middle age or older than that, they generally had that point or that moment in their life. I would say it generally came around their 40s to make that shift.
I think that's true. I mean, I'm older than you, and I believe that the 40s has been a big time in change for a lot of the people that I know personally in my life, really reevaluating what's working and what's not, most importantly. So what are some of the items that you're, or the trends, I don't know if trends is even the right word, but what are the things you should not do if you want to live a happy existence?
So yes. So this is a loaded question, of course.
It is. Other than, you know, hard drugs, stealing, killing animals.
Right.
Other than the basics. Are there any things? Because I think oftentimes it's easy to know what you should do, but sometimes the most insightful advice is on what you should avoid or look at differently.
Yeah, and this is something that I recommend doing what we call a happiness audit around, and auditing, you know, what's draining happiness from your life currently, but also what's creating it and bringing it in. And so I would recommend to take stock of, you know, those things in your life that are draining it currently. And it might be a person, it might be some form of content that you're consuming, whether it be the news, whether it be social media, whatever it is, TV, anything like that. It could also be a pattern of thinking that you keep repeating in your mind that's not causing happiness. It could be a variety of different things. And of course, it's going to vary depending on the person. But I would say to, if you're not feeling the happiest, and this was the common theme of, you know, when we ask people, what would you recommend if someone isn't feeling happy, right? And the overarching answer was to make some type of change, whether it be in the way that you're feeling or thinking or acting. And so I would say the number one thing, this sounds straightforward, is to not just continue doing what you're doing and thinking that things are going to change if you're not happier, right? Because no outside person or external thing will really bring into that. It's more of an internal process that you have to go through. So I would say, you know, just make any type of change, right? Try anything new. Would be a good first step line of way.
And I would say that that's a very common approach for people like you and I who have an entrepreneurial mindset, who don't have classically, quote unquote, fixed mindsets and do like change and chaos. So I myself am one of those people who will pretty much try anything once. If somebody gives me a tip on something that's going to make my life better, I most often try it, and I try it quickly. How about the folks that are more reticent to change? There are quite a few people on this planet that are wired for being more fixed or disciplined and focused on doing what they know. How do they get up the nerve to try to do something different?
Yeah, so for those people that, you know, are, because I agree with you there, I think the majority of people probably aren't comfortable with uncertainty or change as much. I would say, too, in that case, look back on your life and think about the last time you felt really happy or really fulfilled. You know, what were you doing? Who were you with? What time of day was it, right? All these small things. And try to do more of that. And that'll, you know, bring in, there's going to be some aspect of whatever that experience was or that moment was in time that you can start incorporating, you know, more into your life that'll feel more familiar to start. So it's not a massive shift you're making in your life. And then on the other end of that is, you know, the changes that you are making, they don't have to be crazy huge, right? They could be maybe if you enjoy, you know, the sunshine, right? Go for a walk outside during the day for 5 minutes and just kind of switch up your routine a little bit. And then you can, of course, go from there. And I think it's almost better to start small and not, I kind of did this massive shift in my own life, but I think it's almost better to start small sometimes because you can see very quickly, is this resonating? Is this lighting me up? If not, you can drop it and try something new on a smaller level.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I think sometimes it's hard to pick the small things and do them consistently, especially if you're wired as someone who, like, you know, isn't as patient. I know that's mm-hmm. myself. So sometimes it's hard for me to keep consistent with something to give it enough time to see the efforts pay off and those small changes add up. But it's amazing when you look back in the rearview mirror after you've been consistent with something for a few months and you almost forget how far you've come.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And yeah, that's happened to me so many times where, and this is where it's really great to track, you know, whether it's on your phone or in a notebook of just the small amounts of progress you're making or that habit you're being consistent with, because we have so many things happening in our brain and life that we just forget. And yeah, that's happened to me too, where I like things to move quickly. But you look back, you know, a month after tracking or writing in your journal, and it's just wild because you forget about how far you've come. And I almost wish I started tracking things, you know, sooner, because I just forget, you know, where, what I was feeling, what state I was in even a couple years ago.
Yeah. And it's easy to get to overlook those things when things are better. I had a routine surgery a week ago and the first 2 days were brutal. I wasn't expecting it to be so hard. And I was frustrated with where I was in the moment. And I think it wasn't until day three or four when I looked backwards and marveled at how fast the recovery had been from, you know, barely being able to keep my head up to feeling tired but relatively normal. Mm-hmm. So it is celebrating those wins too when you've gotten through adversity. That is an important thing to do. So the mindset right now, I have a few clients that work in the healthcare space, and I've spent a lot of time in the last few months talking about mental health, and the mental health epidemic, as it's being called now, being almost the wave two of what we've experienced over the last year. Some of the most impacted groups are adolescents and children. Those seem to be some of the most underreported, yet severely probably lowly identifying with your happiness index. So as you think about the last year that the world has experienced, how has it helped you look at your research or the pursuit of happiness differently?
That's a great question, because obviously so many things have shifted, and that's actually something we interviewed a whole bunch of people throughout the documentary filming, but continue to do so today. And for the most part, you know, our community and the people we're interviewing, they fall more into, you know, adult life. So we don't have as much data around children, but I would say that for who we've been, you know, interviewing and communicating with, people are appreciating the smaller moments more, which took time, you know, right away. This wasn't happening necessarily last March. People are appreciating those moments more, but they are struggling to find excitement and energy in everyday life.
Ooh, that's so juicy. I do think that sometimes, and I know I discovered this about myself, that maybe I needed more extra to feel like I was checking off the happy box. So for me, mm-hmm. I probably used more grandiose experiences and travel and, I don't know, more extra, a little more sparkle in what I deem to be fun in feeling like I was living a real contented life. And I know for myself in the last year, it has been reminding myself that I can choose to be happy in my circumstances, even when most days feel relatively the same.
Yeah. And it's funny because one of the questions that we asked on our most recent survey we sent out was, what was one of the happiest moments you've had, you know, in the past 3 months, right? Or maybe it was one or two of the happiest moments you've had, some number. And I would say it was just about 96% of responders said that it involved someone that they cared about and they loved, right? So it was a small moment, but it was with someone or maybe even via FaceTime, right? Some interaction if they're living alone, but it was with someone they cared about and it was a very small thing. And it's wild because I think, like you were saying, I too kind of look to the more grandiose traveling, going on these wild adventures. And when you know, really what we need is often, you know, a lot smaller and a lot closer than we think. It's, you know, more attainable.
It was a good wake-up call, though, to think that, you know, chasing these outside symbols of happiness and contentment are also a way of saying that you haven't fully found your own inner compass and balance at feeling good regardless of the circumstance.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's interesting because I feel like, you know, I personally growing up was never taught any of that when, you know, mm-hmm. when you reach a goal and, you know, you're not feeling as you thought you might, what do you do? And so that's really, I feel like an opportunity for the years moving forward is to, you know, provide people with those tools and strategies and hopefully, you know, start small and make those shifts, but it can be so impactful long term.
So what are a couple of the lessons that you learned on being a non-documentary filmmaker who became one?
Oh my gosh. Well, I definitely did not, on a more tactical level, I didn't take as much B-roll as I should have. And for those that are unfamiliar with B-roll, it's basically the background footage. So any scenery shots, things like that. And I you know, took a lot of interviews and was really focused on that. But of course, you need that footage to tie the story together. So looking back, I would be focused on that as well a bit more. I also discovered that, because I think, you know, everyone has certain perspectives and beliefs and perhaps judgments about certain areas of the country or, you know, where people are living and all that. And I found that, and myself included, right, I have a very specific story in my mind of, you know, going to this tiny town in Iowa and thinking, I've always, you know, lived in the Boston area. And thinking, you know, of course, I tried to be open, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, why would anyone want to live here, right? And I went into that and had the most amazing weekend interviewing people, getting to know the people in the town, and just seeing such a tight-knit community where I felt like I was home in this random town that I had just visited, you know, a day prior. And it was this beautiful kind of perspective shift for myself, and there are many of these throughout the journey of, you know, just someone's going to think different things than you and different perspectives and beliefs, but it's bringing them happiness, right? It's bringing them joy. And so there's no real reason to bash it or to kind of, you know, judge it or anything like that. And that's why I feel like now I approach people in conversations much differently. And, you know, try to listen and understand as much as I can versus kind of inflect my own beliefs or perspectives on that conversation or interaction.
Favorite state that you visited?
That's a big question. I love the entire West Coast. It's so beautiful. I would say that my favorite state, which is unexpected to many people, is South Dakota, which, you know, Yeah, people often think, you know, why South Dakota? And I love traveling through the Badlands. I loved, which is this beautiful park there. And I love the people that I met in South Dakota. I also love just how empty it was, which sounds strange, but I think as you drive east, it kind of gets more congested and more built up. And South Dakota, it's just fields and fields and fields. And it was a very unique experience driving through.
Best roadside food?
Oh my gosh, I'm a big Chick-fil-A person. I there's not really one in Boston. I don't think there's any actually. So I haven't had it since the trip. But during the trip, I definitely got it probably more than I should have.
Chick-fil-A. That's beautiful. So for somebody that's listening, let's talk to them about how they can go to your website and take the happiness index, how they can see and how they can watch the documentary.
Yes, absolutely. So anyone around the world can rent or purchase the documentary. The easiest thing to do would probably just be to Google American Happiness Project. Our website will pop right up. The actual website itself is American-happiness.com. So American-happiness.com. And that'll have everything that you can take our happiness audit. You can watch the documentary. We have a bunch of other free resources on the website as well. And then the other thing I want to mention, if you've been listening or you've been looking for more uplifting community and connection and want to meet more positive people across the country, we also have a community called Connection. This is something that was derived during the pandemic because, you know, as we're doing these interviews and surveys, people kept saying that they're missing connection and community in their life. And so we created this where we're now meeting virtually biweekly to bring uplifting people that are working on crafting a positive mindset together for that support and just to really connect with one another. So it's another opportunity if people want to join in on that.
That's wonderful. Well, Michelle Wax, tell us what's next. What's the next step in your happiness journey?
Oh my gosh, great question. So we're right now, you know, just focusing on getting the word out to as many people as possible and really want to become a resource for people that maybe as they're reaching that point where they're discovering, oh, this actually isn't bringing in as much happiness as I thought. What do I do now? We're able to provide, you know, steps and programs and opportunities where they're able to find that knowledge and find those resources that will help them create a more happy life and just more joy and energy in everyday life, not necessarily needing anything too wild to create that for themselves.
That's beautiful because I think when it comes down to it, everybody just wants a positive experience, right? They want to wake up every day and go to bed and think that was a good day.
Absolutely.
Well, I loved talking to you. The documentary is beautiful. I think for myself, one of the most entertaining parts of the whole documentary is seeing so many places across the country. And I know that certainly fuels my sense of wanderlust and really made me happy that we were planning a West Coast National Parks tour this summer.
Oh, beautiful. Where are you going?
We are going to do Yellowstone and Montana Glacier. So I was excited to see, you know, some of the parks and see Utah, things like that. Because I think, you know, it's just, we've been in our houses for so long, and I think it would feel really great to be outside a bit more.
Absolutely. Oh, that should be gorgeous. Have a wonderful trip. I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And again, I'm Karen Morales. We were here today with Michelle Wax from the American Happiness Project. We want everybody to put more momentum back in their life and business. And that's why we meet with you every week to give you tips and tricks from authors and coaches, pundits and experts so that you can do just that. If you are interested in visiting any of our past episodes, go to momentummagnet.com. We love to hear from you and we'd surely love to welcome you as a guest if you send us a note. Reviews on Spotify, iTunes, and all the other podcast sources are vitally important for us to reach you every week. So please go ahead and do that. Thank you again for listening. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to share inspiring comeback stories. We want to hear your reviews and love getting your subscriptions on iTunes and Spotify. For show notes and past episodes, visit MomentumMagnet.com. I'm Karen Morales, keynote speaker, writer, and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a fast-growing marketing agency for purpose-driven companies. Whether you are a business needing an agency, or if you are looking for weekly tips to get ahead, sign up at marketing-magnet.com to receive our weekly inspiration on getting more in your life and business.